awesome God that He is. Can you lift up your hands and just ask Him? Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed
One.
Unstoppable, you are untamable, uncontainable, unquestionable. No one has ever been able to reprove you because you are perfect, you are the Lord of all. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives. Thank you for what you have started doing. We know and we are sure that faithful is He who has begun a good work in us. He will accomplish it. And so tonight we ask that as your word comes to us again, please draw us nearer. Draw us to your bosom. What you want to do in our generation, Lord, consider and count us worthy to be part of it in the name of Jesus. We demand of you tonight that you will not pass us by. As you are touching others, as you are changing others, Father, tonight, do not pass us by. Thank you because you will do beyond what we could ask or imagine today. In Jesus Christ's name, we are praying. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Lord bless you. Amen. We welcome you back to this session of our meeting today again. We had a time in the morning and we're looking at the instruments that God engages for His supernatural shakings in order to bring about His glory. And we began to read a few of the passages in order to describe and have an understanding of the kind of thing that God is set about to do in our lives, in our day. So let me ask you again to let's take our bearing again from our Haggai passage that we have been looking at. And then we will add all the passages that God began to introduce to us so that we can build again tonight. Haggai chapter 2, we are going to pick tonight verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. But we are going to draw issues tonight more deliberately from verse 7. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, says the Lord of hosts. May the Lord continue to grant unto us insight and revelation into what He wants to do with our lives and in our midst, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, as we pick that scripture, the various issues that we've been dealing with, particularly from yesterday morning, yesterday night, and this morning, is the fact that every time God wants to do something on the face of the earth, He uses men and women that are yielded to Him. Every time God wants to walk in any place, no matter how great what He wants to do will be, He looks for hands. He looks for men and women that He can engage to carry out His purposes. There is not one time that God did anything on the face of the earth until He has found a vessel to make use of and to carry out His divine assignment. And we've been speaking deliberately that as God designs and desires to do a thing, He goes looking for men to use for His divine agenda to be established on the face of the earth. So even when I hear the Lord saying, yet once, it's a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. If God will do that without the instrumentality of any of us, there was no need for Him to say it to us. He can just do it whenever He wants to do it. And we'll just wake up and find that the heavens have been shaking, the earth has been shaking, the dry land and the sea has been shaking, and God has shaken everywhere. But when God begins to say, I will do this, I will do this, in our ears, it's because He is advertising a divine agenda in our ears, such that we may be part of what he wants to do. And so this night, in continuation of where we began to speak in the morning, I would like also to spend a bit more time now looking at what does God wants to do if we give our lives to him. What would God carry out if we become instruments in his hand? What will God want to do in our days if God has our lives in his hand to use? So I'm going to pick it again. We read some passages in the morning, which we said was quite a big matter for us, but we are going to keep breaking them gradually. But from Haggai chapter 2 that we are picking, let's quickly look at the overall goal, overall perspective that God is raising, and then what will concern us in it. First, you note God say, yet once. It is a little while, I will shake the heavens. As if God saying, once more, just before the desire of the nations will appear, there's going to be a revival. Just before the coming of him for whom the whole earth is waiting, the Lord Jesus, there is going to be another visitation. The reason why we are crying and laboring and preparing ourselves is because there is a promise of another revival. There's a promise of another move of God that will shake the nations. And when you look at the condition of our earth at this time, and you look at all that has gone on the face of the earth, and all the atrocities that is happening in the nations of the world, you'll be wondering, is there any hope for the purpose of God to come to pass again? God said, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and I will shake the earth, and I will shake the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. When you look at the scope of what God is saying he will do, it's clear that it's not going to be just localized, it's going to be global. When you look at the scope of what God is going to do, it looks as if it's going to be concurrent, it's going to be simultaneous, it's going to be happening here and there, at the same time. When you look at what the Holy Spirit is talking about, it is becoming clear that it is going to look like the last move of God before the close of the age. It looks as if the Lord is speaking about an end time, the end of age, something that must happen before he finally comes. So let me quickly note with you that he says, Look at all the things he said he will shake. That gives you that there will be nothing, there will be no part, there will be no aspect that God is not going to touch and visit. For some, the shaking will be, as we read on Sunday, to remove the things that can be shaken. So that things that cannot be shaken might remain. Things that have no foundation in Christ, the things that the Father has not planted, the things that have been brought in contrary to the will of God shall be shaken. The things that are contrary to the purpose of God, no matter how gigantic they appear, no matter how established they seem to appear, and no matter how prominent it seems to have become, to such a point that if you look at it as a natural eye, you say, no, this has come to stay. Nobody can change this again. This thing that has started happening for several years, who can change it? Who can bring a difference? Let's just continue like that. No. God said, yet once. And it is a little while. I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. Hallelujah. But not only with the desire of all nations will come, will appear, and I will fill this house. I will fill it with glory. I'm going to do something that will bring glory back to my house. That's what God is saying. And that the glory of this latter house, what we are going to see as the manifestation of the glory of God, will be far, far greater than the former ones. All the things that we have read about, all the move of God that we have spoken about, all the great revivals that we have described over the years that has happened from one century to another century, God is saying that this one that He's going to do is going to be far, far greater than they all. And the glory of this latter house will be greater, will be much more profound than of the former. The Lord Himself is declaring it. And in this place, I'll do what? I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now, you see, when you look at when God is speaking about the scope of His move, the scope of His divine visitation, the kind of things that God is going to do, and the Father is going to affect everywhere. My general question has always been, Lord, how will you do it? With who will you do it? What will be my faith in that? What will you have me to do about that? What will be my own contribution, if there's any, to what the Holy Spirit is announcing and declaring in my ears? It is this that made us to begin to look at the various men that God engaged in times when He has moved. And you will allow me to tell a little of their stories and then we can build our discussions tonight by the grace of God. Now, you will notice that God was speaking through Agai, was speaking to Zerubbabel, was speaking to Joshua, was speaking to the remnant of the people. And God was speaking to a people that had been carried into captivity for 70 years. 70 years to an extent that nobody ever thought they can recover. Nobody ever considered as a way back again, because everything was cancelled, everything was scattered, everything, their temple was razed down, the city was destroyed. There's no time for us to read and describe all that happened. And yet God is saying, yet once, and it's a little while, I will do it. But you know, as God spoke like that, suddenly we began to hear about different people that God began to raise. Suddenly we heard about Mordecai. Suddenly we saw an Esther. Praise the Lord. Suddenly we saw an Esther. An Esther that is not going to be serving in the sanctuary. An Esther that's going to be located in the palace as the queen. Suddenly we are talking about a Nehemiah. Nehemiah was not a pastor. Nehemiah was working in the government in Babylon. Suddenly he had a news that the whole of Jerusalem had been razed down. The people that were left are in terrible distress. And the sepulchre of his fathers are all destroyed. A very busy man in government. But something happened to him. He began to cry to God and say, Lord, when will you remember us? When will you forgive our misbehaviors? Suddenly we saw a man like that. He fasted and prayed, only to appear in his office. So you know why I'm telling you this story? I want you to know that the coming move, though it will start from the sanctuary, though it will start from the pulpit, is not going to be limited to the pulpit. The men and women that God is going to use, are you hearing me? They are not going to have a collar on their neck, not all of them, there will be some. But some of them, they will be in government offices. Nehemiah, he was an official in the presidential palace. And what is his work? He was like a cupbearer. Was one of the chief protocols to the king. And while the body of the restoration of his people came upon his heart, he was a man who could, on himself, on his own, fast and pray. The kind of men and women that God must raise. They are not those who we fast because we call a fasting meeting. They are not those who are waiting for an organized program. They are people that could set themselves and say, God, until Jerusalem is restored, I'll give you no rest. Until you do something concerning the sepulchres of my fathers, I will not rest. So this man began an extended fasting and praying that actually affected his visage. He lost weight. And as he came before the king to do his normal service, the king looked at him and said, Nehemiah, any problem? Are you sick? You've never appeared like this before me for all the time I knew you. What's happening to you? And before Nehemiah could speak, the man said, I'm sure that this sickness is not of the body, but of your heart. What's happening to you? Then Nehemiah said, why will I not be sad? Why will my countenance not scatter? When the sepulchres of my father are broken down, when my people are in terrible distress, I don't know how I can go on. Things are difficult for my people. That's the reason why I'm crying. I'm sorry for embarrassing you, sir. Now listen. And the king, sitting with his wife, asked an unusual question. You remember the unusual question? He said, for what do you request? What do you want to do about the condition of your people? He was going to walk that morning. I don't think he was expecting such an encounter with the king. He had prayed. I know he believed that God answers prayer, but I don't think he was expecting that the answer to his prayer was going to be granted that morning. Nehemiah said, if it will please you to send me, I'm going back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He had not yet formed a committee. He had not yet spoken to anybody else. How can one man undertake that kind of elaborate project? I will go and build the walls of my people. And suddenly, the king was asking, how long will it take you? And when will you come back? And one man, please take note, I'm emphasizing. One man. One man that is saying, Lord, here am I. Use me to do what you want to do in this generation. One man that is saying, oh God, if only you will send me, I will give myself no rest until I see the glory of God established. And do you know? Just like that, the king said, all right. And he said, I set a date for the king when I will finish and come back. He had not even taken one step out. Something has happened to Nehemiah. Praise the Lord. By the time the king said, you can come and go, letters were written. Authority letters were given to him. All the timber you need, all the silver, all the gold you need, anything you need, is released. Go and do it. It was then he came back and he went around to search all the ruins of the land. He had not told anybody yet. Then he gathered a few people and said, did you see what has happened to us? Did you see this? Did you see this? Let us rise up and build. God will be raising people like that in the coming days. God will be picking men. Though their root is in the sanctuary, but their places of assignment is not limited to the church walls. Because of what God is declaring that he wants to do in our time. Suddenly you are hearing about an Ezra. Ezra, the Bible said, Ezra. He prepared himself to seek the law of the Lord, to practice it, to do it. and then to teach it in Israel. All of these were men and women that were positioning themselves for a divine visitation. So even as I am reading the scripture, and I'm hearing God say, I will shake the heavens. I will shake the earth. I will shake the sea. I will shake the dry land. And I will shake all nations. I had known that when God makes such a promise, it is premised on if he will find a man, a woman that he can use. And that's why the strong body of this revival meeting is not just to make a declaration, it's to look for recruitment. The strong body for this revival meeting is that God saying, I want to do something in your day. I want to do something in your generation. I want to do something during your days. Are you going to put your hand in it? Are you going to be part of what I want to do? That is the body of this revival. No matter how we are pushed, God is saying, that's what I'm looking for here. And if God has allowed you to come here, that probably is the reason why you are the ones who is attending this meeting. And all those that are listening to us from other platforms, the only reason why you are glued to this meeting is because heaven is giving you a space in what he wants to do. Praise the Lord. By the time God was ready to move, there's an Ezra. When the king Cyrus stood up and said, now God has laid in his heart that people should go back. They should go back. Then he announced, he said, is there anybody who is a ready scribe, who knows the word of God, who can take over and teach the people on how to go and do the thing because God said, I should release you. I pray that when the day of visitation will come, and God will just need men and women to use, we will have been available. We will have been made ready for the things that God wants to do. Praise the Lord. And so, here tonight, the crucial issues that God is saying he wants to do here, it is clear that before the desire of the nations will come, before the consummation of our Lord Jesus Christ, before he will return, these things that God is saying will have to happen. But it will only happen because he has found men and women among us to use. I spoke the other day, when time came for God to fulfill the coming of Jesus Christ in the first time, the first coming of Christ, you know, there was an appointed time when God wanted to do it. And when the time came for it to happen, I started seeing men that God has positioned. I started discovering that there was a man called Simeon, an old man who had been fasting and praying, whom God has told that you will not die until you see the Lord and his Christ. He has been waiting on God and said, Lord, this thing you said, only for the day they were going to bring Jesus to the temple. The man was walking up there and said, oh, now let us thy servant do what? Depart in peace. For my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. So does it mean that even for the coming of Christ in the first place, it was not an accident? Does it then mean that some persons were praying, waiting, preparing themselves, setting themselves apart for that promise to be established? Then another woman came in, Sister Hannah. Do you remember that old woman, Hannah? We said, the Bible said, she was a woman of great age. She was about 84 years. She married only for 7 years when her husband died. You can imagine that she was a young widow. Just 7 years, then the husband died. And this lady decided and said, no, I'm not marrying again. I'm going to dedicate the rest of my years waiting for the consolation of Israel. So you see, every time God has moved, some persons on earth have been the instrument of it. And this next move of God is not going to be different. This next manifestation of the glory we are talking about is not going to be different. So this kind of revival meeting that God is asking us to come into is that recruitment exercise to position brothers and sisters, men and women, in readiness for the supernatural visitation. And if they are not set in place, the days of our visitation may be postponed. But you know that the world system is becoming more and more terrible. If God will not come, we are in trouble already. So Anna was there praying. She was waiting, she was fasting. They said she was worshiping the Lord. That's the language they use. That she worshiped the Lord day and night with fasting and prayer. And what was she waiting on God for? For the consolation of Israel. And as they brought the child Jesus, she also appeared. And she began to again prophesy. And was full of joy and said, my eyes have seen what God has spoken to me about. And she began to speak about peculiar things that God had said concerning this son. Mary was just listening. I said, So people have been traveling for years for this thing that has just happened in my own life. So every revival, what majority of people see in any revival is the physical outburst. Many times they don't know that there are men and women that God had dealt with, that have laid down their lives for what God wanted to do, and they have agreed with God to do it. And then when the outburst comes, we only celebrate the outburst, and we don't remember that men are behind it. Praise the Lord. Before the Pentecost, that outburst, when the Holy Ghost came down from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. If you read the scripture, they say, suddenly, there appeared to them like a cloven tongue of fire. So many people used to think that Holy Ghost coming and revival is a sudden matter, because suddenly. Yes, suddenly to those that are not aware. Suddenly to those that are not involved in the preparation. But to those who have been waiting, it's only a fulfillment of a divine expectation. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether you are following me. So can you imagine that few years before the Pentecost, what did Jesus do? He was walking by the Sea of Galilee. He would see a brother Peter, casting his net. And just before he will finish casting his net, he says, stop it. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. He moved again. He saw another brother and two brothers. This one were walking together even with their father. The drama is very serious. I can imagine that Brother John and Brother James, these are children of the same father, Zebedee. The Bible said they were mending what? Their nets. I don't know how to describe it, but let me show you what it is. Maybe they have thrown their nets and the thing has torn and they need to mend it. So, John was standing on this side. James was standing on this side. They were holding the net to show where it has torn. And their father was doing what? Was using the needle and thread to put it together. And they were doing this when Jesus passed by. And as he looked at them, he looked at these sons of Zebedee and said, this will be a candidate for what I want to do. But they are wasting away mending empty nets. Then he looked at them and said, follow me. I will make you. I will make you something else. I will make you fishers of men. That one was very dramatic. You know what happened? James and John, the head, immediately they dropped the net and the needle and the thread on the lap of their father Zebedee. Before the man looked up, his two sons have followed this man who looked like a stranger. Is that not a terrible commotion? Eh? My God. James! John! Where are you going? He said, he called me. Just like that. He said, we should follow him. He will make us something that you could not make us. He will make us fishers of men. That's how they led their father in the boat, and they followed Jesus. What a terrible interruption. It's an interruption, am I correct? I was trying to imagine when Zebedee finally gathered himself together to the reality that he has lost two sons to a stranger and went back home. Can you imagine the question? Try to imagine the question. When Mrs. Zebedee confronted her husband, said, where are my boys? Three of you went out and you are coming back alone. What happened to my boys? He said, well, we were working on mending our nets. This man just walked by and did his eyes to my boys. They said, he said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. That's how my boys left me. Every effort to get them back, they didn't listen. They said he has called them. And I don't know what he's doing with them. He has gone away with them. Mrs. Zebedee said, you mean he left with my boys? And you did not follow him to know where he carried them. And you are coming home. What do you want me to do here now? Do you know what happened to Mrs. Zebedee? She left in search of her two boys. I think it is her two boys she was searching for that made her to follow Jesus. By the time she got there and saw her two boys, and she listened to the thing that Jesus was saying to them, Mrs. Zebedee said, if this is the kind of thing that my boys are following, I better join them. Do you know that Mrs. Zebedee became a disciple? Started following. Don't ask me where John's father is. Mr. Zebedee, I don't know. The Bible didn't tell us anything about him again. I don't know. He didn't follow, but couldn't stop what has happened in his house. Is that a shaking in somebody's family? Eh? That was a shaking. And it was a shaking that you could not contend with. But can you imagine this voice? He was passing again, and he saw another brother called Matthew. Matthew was a chief, what is his name now? He's a tax collector. Actually, he was sitting at customs. He was collecting. And Jesus passed and saw him and said, ah, what a man that will be part of what I want to do in the future. Wasting away, collecting custom. So he came near him and said, you follow me. There's something I will make you. And I don't know the power with which Christ attracts men. I still pray that he will exercise that power here upon our lives in the name of Jesus. That irresistible power that when he says, follow me, Matthew could do nothing else than to quickly fold up. What did he do? He folded everything he was doing and he closed his books and he said, ladies and gentlemen, I will not be able to continue this customs work. He has called me. There's something more. I've not known what it is altogether. I don't know where it will land me, but he has said there's something higher for my life than what I am doing here. I'm going with him. And to make his resignation quite decent, you know what he did? He threw a send-forth party and invited all his colleagues, tax collectors and everybody, custom officers, for a dinner. And when they all sat down, he had invited Jesus as, sir, I want you to please attend a dinner to be my send-forth dinner. And I'm bringing all my colleagues in case they will hear you also. So there was a meeting of tax collectors organized by Brother Martin. It was going to be the final meeting with them. And I'm sure he stood there and said, this is the man that called me, I'm following him. I've heard him. I don't know what you are going to do with your life, but I'm going. That's why we have the book of Matthew today. That's why Matthew has become such a very, very great instrument. I don't know how many millions of people have been brought to the Lord through the book of Matthew. Eh? But how did it happen? Such men were called, interrupted from whatever they were doing. And so they all gathered. They grew gradually. They became 70, they became 120 by the time Jesus was going. So when the Holy Ghost was coming all the way from heaven, do you remember? They said it was coming like a mighty rushing wind. You know the way they describe it is as if it's going to carry houses, it's going to go anywhere, it will fall in the market, it will fall everywhere because it's like a mighty rushing wind. But I discovered that this mighty rushing wind has an address that it was going. Hallelujah. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit that is coming all the way from heaven was not to branch here and there. Where was he going, please? He was going to that house where the 120 are sitting. And so he sat upon each one of them. Why was that? They were the ones that the Master has recruited and prepared to become the carriers of his supernatural move. I sense this meeting is so crucial because when I hear God say, yet a little while, I have a sense of urgency. I have a sense that something is going to happen not too long from now. And I have a sense that it's going to be happening globally. And I have a sense that it's going to be happening everywhere. And I'm feeling that it's going to affect every segment. And it will precede the coming of the desire of all nations. I have a sense that something must happen quickly before the second coming of Christ. And that which God is going to do just before he will release Jesus to us will bring back the glory of God to this house. Will cause this house to experience a fresh glory. But the major issue that I sense I have the body and the obligation of doing in the course of this revival meeting is to look for men, look for women, positioned by God, ready to become the bearers of that fire. I thank God that since the Holy Spirit started, several of us have responded yesterday. Some responded the other day. But this night again, the Lord will have me discuss with you that scope of what God wants to do. And the need for the light that he wants to work with. And because God will need them in every segment, it will be needed that those that will hear God and say, Father, whatever you are doing, count me among them. And whichever way you want to walk with them, don't bypass me. Don't allow my life to eventually become a waste because I did not get myself included in what you are doing, which is the only reason why I am alive. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, having laid that again before you, I now want to draw because I just felt in my spirit that the critical thing God wants to do during this revival, and let it be on record that Jesus is passing through this revival particularly to set men aside and apart for the coming move of God. Several of you that will respond to God, you will see him positioning you for this supernatural manifestation of his power in the coming days. And He's recruiting us and calling you from different walks of life. And He's confronting and saying, do you know it's for this reason I have kept you alive? Do you know it's for this reason I have allowed you to listen to what I'm saying? Do you know that I'm not just speaking generally, I'm speaking particularly to you? The Lord has need of you. So can we follow me now to read one more illustration for tonight? It is tomorrow. I already determined that by God's grace, we will begin to look at, so what does God do? What does God do to prepare these men to make them able to bear the glory that they were going to spearhead in the coming days? We will not dabble into it tonight. We will reserve the whole of tomorrow to deal with that as the Lord will help us. But I want you to draw an illustration quickly from the book of Mark chapter 11. Can we all now look at Mark 11? Mark 11. And in Mark 11, verse 1 to verse 11 is where the story is. But I will pick it as it becomes relevant for us tonight before I will ask you to join me in prayer again. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, Mark 11, are you there? Unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, He sendeth forth two of His disciples. And He says to them, go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. If any man say unto you, why do you this? Why are you doing this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him. And straight away, He will send him here. And they went their way and found a colt tied by the door, outside or without, in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, why do you loose the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus has commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And He sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches of the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed behind cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is He that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when He had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, He went out into Bethany with the 12. What is that story all about? Please, brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention to this. It's going to be a short thing I need to do now. What is that story all about? Those of you that have read the Bible and you have studied scriptures very well, you will notice that what we are reading here was prophesied before. Eh? Behold your king coming upon what? Upon an ass. You know what struck me? Is that even the ass that Jesus was going to ride to fulfill prophecy, are you hearing me? Was mentioned before. Was mentioned in prophecy many, many, many years. And I'm saying, Lord, are you so meticulous that even ordinary ass that the master was going to ride, you spoke about him? You don't know what happened to me when I came there. I said, so if there was a prophecy about an ass that Jesus rode, there must be a prophecy about me also. If God was meticulous to speak about an ass that has a role to play in the fulfillment of prophecy, why is it looking incredible that there must have been a prophecy concerning Brother Gilead's role in the coming revival? And why should it look incredible to you that God, who knew you from your mother's womb, who called you when you did not know your left or their right, why is it incredible to you to know that could it be the reason why you have been kept alive? The Bible says, and you know that when it was not time, Jesus could go to Jerusalem as many times as possible. Am I communicating with you? He will go to Jerusalem by himself. Sometimes they will trek. Sometimes, I don't know how they will move. Because I knew one time he left Jerusalem and he was going to Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria and they were trekking. And the Bible said he was tired and he sat by a well. So, for Jesus, trekking or moving the way he used to move is not a problem. But this particular time, a prophecy must be fulfilled that he will not enter Jerusalem the way he used to enter before. He was going to ride on an ass. There are things that have been done in time past, but when the time for God to fulfill prophecy comes, am I communicating with you? You see, there are many times that nothing has been told you, you are not bothered because it's not time. But when the time for a prophetic purpose of God to be fulfilled in your life comes, please listen to me. This meeting that you have attended is not your usual revival meeting. It's not your routine meeting. Even though there was a big publicity about the meeting, praise the Lord, the pastors, maybe you say, and we publicize, so we prepare that side, we prepare this side, we thought that everywhere be full. No, don't worry about that. This meeting is not about that. This meeting was a recruitment. Hallelujah. This meeting was defined because of what we are about to enter into. When they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage, in between Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives. Did you see that kind of meticulous description of where they are from? As if it was important for them to reach that place before Jesus will give this instruction. So he now decided. It was always strange to me. He sent for two of his disciples to go to the village ahead of them. I was wondering, for what? The time that Jesus is going to wait for them to go and for them to return, should he not have gone with them? You are not answering me again. So why was he waiting now? He has been trekking with them from wherever they were coming from. But when they now came to this corner, something that he has never done before, even his disciples are surprised. He said, I'm going to wait here now. Go to the village ahead of you. When you enter that village, as soon as you enter it, you will find a colt. May God find you in the name of Jesus. You will find a colt tied. Where two ways met, you find a colt tied at a junction outside. This particular ass should have been going about grazing with every other one, but because the master has need of it, it was tied. I can imagine other colts, other asses were passing by. And as they are going to go and eat grasses everywhere, this one couldn't go. Why could he not go? The Lord has need of it. Why couldn't he follow his colleague here and there, everywhere? And while others are passing, because he's tied outside, they could see. They're saying, what are they tying you here for when you should have followed us? Look, I'm getting good things here to eat, and you are tied here. I don't know the language of the ass, but I imagine they have said, well, I don't know why I'm tied here, but I sense that I'm tied down for a purpose. And you will soon discover why God has tied me down. You can go anywhere you like. I cannot, because I am being tied down for a divine assignment. You can be anywhere you like to go, but for me, there is a clear indication that they will soon send for me. And you know, God gave a qualification for that ass. He said, you will find a coat tied whereon never man sat. I don't understand why. Because the ass in Israel is an animal that carries load. Anybody that has a donkey in his house, you've got a wheelbarrow to carry things. But this one, since it was born, no man has ever sat on it. How did he escape being sat upon by all others? The Lord has need of him. And the master said, when you get there, loose him and bring him. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you do this? What are you doing? Loosening the coat. Say ye to them that the Lord has need of it. And straight away, he will send him here. May the Lord fulfill this promise in this meeting. Somehow I feel I had not come to a Koyi Baptist for a regular meeting. I feel God is sending, as he sent for two of his disciples, to go and loose some coat that he has tied for a purpose. To bring him and to bring them for the reason why heaven has tied them down. I perceive that the Holy Spirit has started a work we will not be able to describe. What will be the complete outcome of this revival meeting? You will see it better by and by. When these men begin to shoot forth, and God begins to use them to shake the land, to throw them into different aspects, and the story will be told, say, when did this thing happen? When did this thing begin? He said, that revival meeting. I thought I was attending a casual meeting. The Lord arrested me. The Lord took my attention. I thought I was keeping my life for something else. Until God came and said, break it at my feet. That's when it began. And you know, as they were bringing the axe, something again was very touching to me. I thought that the two disciples that he sent, it could have been easier for them to do what? To jump on the axe and ride it. Instead of, look at them, they are pushing the axe. But they must not do that. It is not a man that will use you. It's not a man that will ride your life. It is him. It is him. When they brought the colt to the master, even the disciples don't understand what was going to happen. They don't know what was Jesus all about. Why does he want to ride a donkey today? What is the meaning of this now? So when they brought the donkey and they cast their garments on him as if to just decorate it a bit, and Jesus sat on this. I don't know what happened. All of you, I don't know whether you follow the Bible. Did you see something spontaneous that took place in that story? Eh? Please check. Did you see something spontaneous? Something unorganized? The Bible said, as they brought the coat to Jesus and cast their garment on him, and he sat upon him, many, I don't know where that many came from. Many spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches of the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed, all of them started crying. They started singing a song that nobody knew where they came from. What was their song? Hosanna! 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 Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom. When I look at chapter 10, there was no discussion about it. When I look at how they got to verse chapter 11, nobody knew what was going to happen. There's a sudden manifestation of a glory. It was spontaneous. It happened. It looked unplanned, but it was planned from heaven. Praise the Lord. The crowd was not arranged, but heaven arranged them. If you were to read it in chapter 12 of John, how it happened. When the young women, when the children, when people started shouting, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in... You cannot understand. You know, those that removed their hair tie, they were just saying, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Lord, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the children, they were dancing front. They went and quickly caught palm fronds and began to strew it on the way. Those that had carpet and mats, they started putting it unorganized. 2 hours before that time, nobody knew anything like that. It looked as if it is sudden. But the coat that was tied, I don't know how long they tied it for this assignment. I want to stop now tonight again. I have made several altar calls in this meeting. But tonight, again, I feel, before I will come to draw issues tomorrow, I sense that we have come to that corner, when they came nigh to Jerusalem. When they came near to where the glory of God was brought forth, at that time, there was an ass that must be loosed. I have no time to talk about the nature of that ass, about what is peculiar about that ass, but it was just touching to me that even that ass was a prophetic ass. Even that particular ass was mentioned. Zechariah mentioned it. It was mentioned in the Psalms. Behold your king. And when the people saw him coming on an ass. Now, let me do the last drama in my mind. As they were throwing their clothes, as they were spreading the carpet. Excuse me. To whom are they throwing their clothes, please? It's to the Lord Jesus, Abby. It was Jesus they wanted to honor. But let me ask you, who was walking on top of the carpet? Did you understand what I'm talking about? When this ass became the ass that carried the master, it became the ass to be honored. It became the ass to walk on carpets. It became the ass to be decorated, to be dressed. It became the ass that everybody treated gently. Because it was carrying the master. I was just thinking, when the whole glory and ceremony finished, I don't know what they did with the ass, but I'm sure. Can I tell you what I'm sure about? That ass was treated especially. He said, this is the ass that brought the king. This is the ass that brought the king. We don't know whether he will ride it back, but let's be careful with this ass. It brought the king. I am calling you to become that ass that the master can ride upon. But I do know that if Jesus was to jump on your life, you'll be walking on his carpet. You'll be walking on his carpet. Men will look and say, "But this is the ass that has brought my Lord to us." Sometimes you will see the kind of way in which this ass was being treated, not because of the ass, or because of the Lord that was on it. As I stop tonight, I have this one duty, and I said I must not fail to discharge it. Go into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entering into it, you will find a coat tied, whereon never man stands, loose him and bring him. Loose him and bring him. If anybody asks you, "Why are you doing it?" say to them, "The Lord has need of him." Let's stand up to pray together. If anyone was asking me tonight and say, "Why are you doing this?" the Lord has need of him. Our Father tonight, by the working of your Spirit, and because of what you want to do, because of the glory that is about to break forth in our nation, because of what you are about to demonstrate concerning your Son, the desire of all nations, you have called for this meeting at a time that looks not so convenient. You have demanded that we should do this because there are asses here tied, meant for you to ride upon. If anybody were to say, "What are you doing with these people today?" the Lord has need of him. And so, Father, I ask that as they brought that ass to you, and we're not bringing them to any other person, we're bringing them to you, you will be the one to ride on their back. The glory that will soon burst up, it will be like as if it's sudden, as if it is an accident, as if it is by coincidence. No. It's not a coincidence. It's something that you had in mind to do. And this ass was tied down for that purpose. This is the reason why you have not allowed it to be ravaged. You have not allowed it to be misused. You have not allowed it to be mismanaged. This is the reason. If that ass had missed that opportunity, that ass would have been a miserable ass. It will have missed the reason why it was created. Lord, I ask tonight, none of us will miss the reason why we were born. None of us will miss the reason why you have so watched and cared and catered for our lives until this time, in the name of Jesus Christ. And none of us will miss the reason why you are kept your meticulous eye upon us, why you have in your own wisdom delivered us from premature death, why you have kept us from that terrible accident that claimed others, and you have said, "No, I have need of this man." Lord, you said, "On which never a man sat." Lord, I ask that after this meeting, O God, none of these brothers and sisters who have been earmarked in heaven for this assignment we become an object to be ridden upon by any other person. Lord, I want to pray no one else will ride upon our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ. We will fulfill the reason why we were born. We will fulfill the reason why we were born again. We will fulfill the reason why you have pursued us with your love over the years. Holy Spirit, tonight, oh God, have your way in our midst. Have your way in this congregation. Have your way in this congregation. In the name of Jesus. And suddenly, those that went before, those that came behind, suddenly, they began to shout. There's going to be a sudden shout of glory. A sudden outburst of the power of God. Something is going to happen with our lives very soon. It will not be the kind that we have planned. It will be bursting forth here and there. And men will say, when did this thing happen? How did it happen? Who planned it? Because it is time for you to do it. So Lord, having done what you ask us to do tonight, I do ask you now that all those that you have tied for Jesus, for this particular glory that is coming, for this particular manifestation of your power coming, whatever ties them, we lose them. We lose them. Lord, we lose them. Anything else that has tied them, it is time for them now to be loosed. Holy Spirit, do it now. It was very interesting, oh God, that when your disciples went there, they found it so. They find them so. They find the ass tied there. They saw the junction. It has not moved away. Lord, you will find us here tonight. This is the end of this night message. And I would like to stand here waiting for those hands to say, Lord, ride on my back. Lord, I've heard you clearly. I have heard your voice. It is clear that I am one of those that you have tied down for an assignment of this time. I am one of those. That's why you didn't allow me to drift with all my colleagues. I had colleagues that were flying here and there. And they were wondering why I was still waiting where I was waiting. They did not know that the Lord has need of my life. Now, Lord, have your way with me. We are praying. Now it's your turn to pray. It's your turn to talk to God anyhow you want. It's your turn to say, Lord, I sense that it is for this reason I have been so positioned. It is for this reason that my life has not been scattered over the years. So this is the reason why I have been brought here. Yesterday, some of us, we understood. We said, Lord, I'm breaking that box. But this moment, again, the Lord Jesus is sending for his disciples. Say, go and loose that coat and bring. who is there among us tonight who say, yes, Lord, I am thine, O Lord. I have had thy voice and it all thy love to me. But I long, to rise in the hands of God and be individuals who have heard God tonight, who have said, so there is a reason why God has tried my life like this. And this meeting, God is saying, Lucy, I'm bringing. Bring him to me. I will dress him to ride on him. And they went and they brought him. Is the Holy Spirit drawing your heart to the Lord tonight? And say, now, above everything else, the reason why I have been born, the reason why I have been preserved, the reason why I have been raised to the point where I am, it's not so that someone else will jump on my neck. It is that you, the Lord, might use me for the coming glory. Even the ass itself was surprised. The disciples they sent were surprised. Suddenly, something of the heavens happened. We take the song again. You know, I want you to sing that stanza first. And I want the organ not to be too much, because I want the people themselves to talk to God for themselves. I am yours, I am thine, O Lord, and I've heard your voice. Have you heard the voice of God tonight? Have you seen Jesus pointing at you tonight? Are you hearing him say, you came to this meeting because the Lord has need of your life. The Lord has need of you. Something is about to break forth, but this must happen first. The ass must be brought first. The ass must be loose and brought to him first. As we take this song, if you are saying, Lord, draw me near, I'm coming to you, just carry whatever you have and just come there. Just walk out before him. I perceive that the Holy Spirit is doing something here now. And we can't do otherwise. The essence of this revival meeting is that God is coming to set those on whom he will ride, on whom the anointing is going to fall. Thank you. Thank you, my friends. Thank you, my brother. I am thine, O Lord, and I have had thy voice. And it all thy love to me. For thy love to rise. And be And the Spirit of God is saying, if anybody say, why are you doing this? He said, the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need. Can the Lord have the need of a life like yours and you're holding it back? Draw me near. Thank you, my dear sister. Thank you. Thank you, dear sister. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, dear brother. God bless you now. And they brought him to him. And they brought the ark to him. And they came to him. Just one more time. And they came, they brought him to him. Why you see me tarrying here tonight is that the Lord must, he must come on your life. They dressed him, they put their dresses on top, and the master came upon him. Tonight is a very special night. This is the reason why you have been kept alive. Thank you. We take that song one more time. And I want us to pick it. I am thine, O Lord, and I've heard your voice. He told of your love to me. I've heard you speaking about me. I've heard you speaking deliberately about me. Tonight, Lord, I'm coming to you. God bless you. If you have not done so, please walk out quickly so that I can now say, Lord, we have brought them to you. And then you can dress them. You can prepare them. You can spread the carpet on which they will ride. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. I'm it all. Thy love to me, what I love to write in the arms of him, and the clothes that draw to me, draw me near us. No, write on it. Ride on me, thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my dear sister. Draw me near, Lord. Oh, my God. My God. The Lord has need of me. Why are you doing this? The Lord has need of it. There's nothing they are paying you where you are. The Lord has need of this man. The Lord has need of this life. The Lord has need of him. That's why. That's why. That's why. We repeat that song. Thank you, choir. Please take it up. Take it up again. Kind of call tonight is a very critical call. Even some of us that it will look as if I have been there, the Master is saying, loose it and bring him here. Whatever it is that was used to tie you down, tonight the Master says, loose him, let him come. Loose him, loose him, loose him, loose him, loose him. There's this someone that God is saying, loose him and bring him to me. Permit me to give that one more space. If the Spirit of God is still saying, it's you I'm waiting for, just walk out. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my brother. I am thine, O Lord. I have had thy voice. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, that sister. Thank you, that young man. Say, loose him and let him come. What is it that you find me? Loose him, loose him. Loose him. Thank you. Loose him. Loose him, let him come. Loose him and let him come. Let everything that ties him down, let it be loose now. Let him come here. Throw him in your arms. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a night like this. Thank you for a night like this. Lord, let this night be that turning point, oh God. Let this night be that night. The bedfast has come. The time of glory has come. The time of an outpost has come. The time for God to ride upon this house is here. Amen. Lord, and they brought him to you. Lord, tonight, look at my brothers. Look at my sisters. Look at my friends. We heard your voice tonight. Shortly before the glory we burst forth, the earth had to be loosed and brought. But thereafter, the events and things that began to unfold was a surprise to everybody. This night, Father, come upon these lives. Father, ride on their back. Father, for that outburst you are talking about,